Hey team, welcome back to the show. Today it is Coach Natalie and I talking through five essential strategies to managing the holiday season. Now, there's a lot of podcasts out there around this topic. Of course, we are in the holidays, Hanukkah, Christmas, New Year's coming right up. We just passed Thanksgiving. But how to manage this, also like within all those podcasts and whatnot, a lot of it is more so just like here's how you can bank up your calories and things of that nature. Because all of this is going to be so specific to you as the individual, the phase you're in, et cetera. I think that more so a mental framework to approach this through versus like, hey, here's how to save your calories up or something of that sort is much more effective. So I'm excited to get into this. Natalie, before we dig into it, anything else that you wanted to mention?
No, just that, like you said, there's a lot of information right now floating around about, ways to navigate the holidays, like social posts, podcasts, and whatnot. But it is just such an important thing to talk through because I know I'm having a lot of these discussions right now with my clients, and I do every year. So we thought that, one of the best ways to kind of bring value was to kind of share some of our insights that and conversations that we're having right now with you all.
Absolutely. Okay. So talk us through kind of, I know you're probably talking about this with a lot of clients. So what's the first point or kind of the first mindset that you're kind of trying to talk clients through?
I think the most important thing, like kind of the umbrella over all of this, is to have a conversation about expectations, right? And this has to do with, what phase of nutrition are you even in, and what does, everyone wants to know, like, how do I navigate the holidays? Okay, well, to have that conversation, we need to first decide, like, how do we define success? Like, what does success look like within your framework of where you are on your, periodization plan with nutrition right now? Like, are you in a deficit? Are you at maintenance? Are you in a surplus? What's going on there? And what is the outcome you're looking for? So for my clients who are in a deficit, okay, like, are you expecting to continue to see progress there? For my clients who are in maintenance, that's certainly a very different conversation, as well as a surplus. But that's, I think, really the first piece is what is success going to look like? So if you're in a deficit, is success going to look like continuing to see a steady rate of loss throughout the month of December? If the answer is yes, and that's what we want, then that certainly is going to point us, down a certain path. If the conversation then becomes, I am in a deficit, but I have many commitments this time of month. I'm getting really stressed out. My ability to manage these events is just not what I would hope it would be. Okay, well, maybe we need to talk about something like a diet break, a maintenance break, bringing calories up just to kind of like maintain progress.
Absolutely. And I think that a lot of times it's easy for people to think that if you're not losing fat, you're failing, right? But a lot of times just being able to maintain during a time like this, which is a time for a lot of people, like every other time they've gone through the holidays, this is like a huge step back, right? It's something that's very hard to manage. They feel like they lose a lot of progress and it's like, okay, I'm going to restart in January. And that's again, like if you learn how to manage this time, which is the hardest time of the year for you typically to manage and just maintain your results, maintain your body composition, that in itself is a huge amount of progress, right? Because if you can manage it and this is the hardest time of the year for you, then you can manage it any other time. And I think that's again, like such an important point to make and something that's lost on a lot of people. Because a lot of people like just want to, and I think it's almost like for clients who have really struggled with this time in the past, I think it's almost more beneficial to actually go to maintenance versus because a lot of people like just want to like white knuckle it through the holidays, right? And it's like, oh, I always struggle through it with this. So I just want to diet through it so I don't even have to worry about it. And it's like, hey, we're gonna have to address this at some point for you to be successful. Why not just do it now? Go
It's
ahead.
almost a lot easier to just say no to everything.
Right. Yeah.
Like you said, white knuckle it. It's almost like, again, it's that like binary A or B, all or nothing kind of mindset. It's a lot easier to just categorically just say no to everything, like I'm dieting, as opposed to like actually confront the thing that might actually be one of your greatest obstacles within your ability to manage your nutrition.
Absolutely. As far as adjusting expectations, anything else that you wanted to touch on there?
Whatever the you know, whatever you come to as, you know, your definition of success, you know, and what you want to work towards that month, we have to be okay with the trade-offs, you know? Absolutely. So if you really do want to continue to see a steady rate of loss through the entire month of December, then we need to be okay with, you know, saying no to some things, right?
Absolutely.
And if I'm being perfectly honest, if you are a social butterfly and your goal is to maintain, you might still have to say no to some things. But we can kind of get into that a little bit later.
Yeah, I think that is a good point, though. No matter what, even at maintenance, there's always going to be trade-offs, which I think is another, like, for some people that we're working with, this might be the first time we've actually practiced maintenance. And as you said, it's a little bit different when you're in this mindset of like, I'm dieting, I'm just going to say no to more things versus, okay, this is what it looks like to maintain. And we always want to be transparent about like, yes, you have more flexibility. Yes, we can like enjoy more foods and probably more alcohol if that's something that's important to you and things of that nature. But again, like how you live your life still is going to have to change. So from there, I think boundaries and implementing boundaries is another important part of this. What would you say are the biggest aspects of that that you're talking about with clients?
Yeah. So implementing boundaries, and this is a conversation I've had with, I think, most of my clients at this point. We kind of started this prior to Thanksgiving, but I had a lot of them, all of them, come up with a list of boundaries ahead of time for the holiday season. Like, hey, what are the actions and behaviors that you need to preserve in order to kind of keep your sense of peace? And sanity, if you will, whatever term you want to use there. But like, what are the things that need to happen, you know, that you need to do in order to really feel your best and operate your best through the holiday season? So, you know, some examples could be like, you know, what are you setting aside time for? I mean, this is a very traditionally busy time of year, like tons of demands on your time, like socially and otherwise, family commitments. So what are you making time for? You know, that could be training. And that could look like, hey, I'm going to maintain like my 4 or 5 times a week training every week. Or that could be like, that could even be something, and again, refer to our earlier point of like, you know, define success and, you know, like what does this month need to look like for you? Maybe if you normally train 4 times a week, you know, maybe you're like, I'm going to get in at least 3 sessions, mm-hmm. like during these very busy weeks. But deciding ahead of time, like what you're going to do about that, and kind of make it a non-negotiable. Because all too often it just kind of gets pushed to the wayside, right? And then along with that, you know, your walking or movement goals. Do you normally start your day with a morning walk in nature, something like that? Is that something that you want to hold on to every morning or several times a week? What about your nutrition? Are you going to, you know, make time for yourself to meal prep? And what does that meal prep need to look like? You know, maybe it's not going to be a full on, you know, casserole souffle, you know, this busy time of year, but maybe it's going to be something just like chopping veggies, you know, and getting those ready to go for the week, or making a grocery list, keeping up like a gratitude or meditation practice, keeping up with your bedtime routines, your AM PM routines, as well as like the time that you normally go to bed, keeping yourself regulated that way. That one's a really hard one this time of year, by the way. Lots of late nights. I had a client who came up with actually a really awesome list. I just love the way that she framed everything. And a couple of things that she had on her list were like, I'm going to check in with you as per usual every week. Like, that's important to me because I know that just doing that and having these conversations with you every week is actually going to keep so many other things in check, like the nutrition training, right? And like, again, having those week to week conversations about, you know, the events coming up and the obstacles and challenges and whatnot. So I love that she put that in there. And then she also wrote, you know, if I'm starting to feel overreached in any way, then I'm going to reach out to my therapist or like a mental health professional. So those are, you know, we could go on and on and list things out, but these are just some ideas. And what I don't want this to be is like, you know, this never ending checklist of like a million more things to add to your day.
Right.
But just like, if you really drill it down, what are like the top five things that you just need to hold on to feel most like yourself this time of year?
And I think this really ties in very nicely to the previous point, specifically the conversation around trade-offs, where I kind of have the similar conversation a lot with clients, like going into a meal or a specific holiday where it's like, hey, there's no right or wrong here, but I just want you to think through the trade-offs that you are okay with. And like going into this, have a plan that you're okay with as far as how you want to manage it. Because when we kind of just go into something like this, a lot of times we don't think through beforehand, like what's important to me? How do I want to manage this? What am I prioritizing here? No matter how you manage it, you just feel shitty about it, right? If it's like, I didn't consume any of the food, I was just like, again, really like kind of white knuckled it, you might end it like, damn it, I wish I would have enjoyed that more. I regret not managing it like that. Or if it's just like, we went hard again, we regret it. It's kind of a lose-lose. Whereas if you can think through, how do I want to manage this? What is important to me here? What are the trade-offs that I am and am not willing to make? Then it's so much easier to, again, be okay with the way you manage that. And just again, like have a mental framework for like, these are the things I'm okay with and I'm not okay with. Like, I know for me, one of the biggest things is like alcohol. Have you had mulled wine?
Oh yeah.
So good. And Katie like stocks up on mulled wine this time of year. And like, I mean, she's drinking wine a lot, but mulled wine specifically to me is so good. But I know like, hey, if I'm like having a glass of mulled wine with her during the week, I just don't feel like myself the rest, like the next day, I'm just off. So for me, that's like something that I know is appealing, but I can still like enjoy our time together just as much without like partaking in that. Right. But, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I think mine would be Christmas cookies.
Ooh, like sugar cookies?
All
Christmas cookies. I
grew up like, you know, I would always like bake, like my mom would bake like multiple batches of like different kinds of cookies. And so, you know, every year, like I want all of those cookies. Like I want every variety possible. But an example of a boundary that I'm implementing for, you know, just for the sake of example here is like, you know, I'll decide like one or two recipes this year to make. Because no one in my family would go as hard on Christmas cookies as I would, you know, and what ends up happening is like, we have all of these cookies hanging around the house and my mom's like, well, you're going to take these home because they're not staying here. And that's like, I'm definitely not going to eat all of those. So yeah, that would be my kind of Christmas vice.
It's also a travesty that gingerbread isn't like a year round thing. I'm a huge fan. Absolutely. Same.
Something we finally agree on.
First thing. As far as boundaries, anything else that you'd like to speak on?
Yeah, and this is a big one, and probably the hardest, but learn to say no. Learn how to say no to other people, to yourself. this is something we could, you know, talk about year round for sure, but especially this time of year. Again, there are so many demands on your time and so many demands on your money. And learn how to say no. Social events, you don't have to offer a reason or an excuse. I really like the saying, you know, no is a complete sentence. If you feel the need to justify, like go for it, but you really don't owe anyone anything. Everyone has limits and a capacity, and it is okay to say no and decline some invitations. Or, you know, on a smaller scale, when you are out, saying no to a second helping of whatever, or, you know, the third glass of mulled wine or something like that.
Absolutely. And that's, I think that a lot of our fear around saying no, again, first is just like having those, thinking through the trade-offs and knowing what your boundaries are beforehand, but also so much of it is just based on like, well, what are other people going to think? What are their expectations of me? And I think that most people will really respect when you set your boundaries and are like willing to stick to them. And most people like often just wish they would do the same. Like think about like on my bachelor party, my friend Tristan, every night when we get home, it would be like 7:45 PM. He wouldn't say anything. He would just go to his room and go to bed. And I was like, I respect that, dude, because most people would feel like I need to stay up until like midnight with everybody else. And it just didn't say a thing. Didn't rationalize it. Would just go to bed. And it's like, I appreciate the fact that you don't feel like you need to do that. Now, again, sometimes this does come with having conversations, but also I think ultimately the best thing you can do for everyone around you, like if you're truly concerned about everyone around you also and like what they think and how they feel, the best thing you can do is prioritize the things that are going to allow you to show up best for them, which is probably, again, sticking with your boundaries.
And I think the important note about boundaries here is like, you need to decide what those are ahead of time, by the way, decide, I'm not so unrealistic that I think that you're going to be able to, rock up to a holiday party and know exactly the food that they're going to have there, and therefore how many of each type of cookie you're going to have. And they're going to have like this type of charcuterie board, we're going to log and track it all. Like, sometimes that's just not realistic, but I'm talking about deciding ahead of time, like how many drinks will you have?
Right.
Like, don't wait until you get there, decide ahead of time what is important to you and what is the outcome that you want. Like, hey, I want to be able to drive home, number one. And, number two, like I want to wake up feeling my best or at least okay tomorrow. Like, I want to go hit my training session tomorrow. I want to wake up and get in that morning walk. And, the more that we kind of let those boundaries slip, it's like it sort of ends up having a domino effect.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more with all of that. As far as priorities, I know this is another thing you want to talk about. And you have here, if everything is a priority, then nothing is a priority. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yeah, possibly my favorite quote ever.
I've never heard you say that.
Really? My clients hear it all the time. Like, if everything is a priority, then nothing is a priority, right? So what are your priorities? Like, this time of year, what is most important to you? Is it the food? I mean, that's okay if you said yes. Is it the company? Is it, I don't know, like whatever your priority is, decide. But my point is like, when you're looking specifically at things like all the demands on your time, social events, parties, school, fundraisers, functions, like they can't all be a priority,
right?
So something like that I see really often with clients is, I'm like, hey, what events are coming up? And then they give me like a laundry list. Like, here are 20 things that I want to be able to basically show up at and do whatever I want. And so from there, we have to have a conversation like, okay, out of these things, what are the priorities? And so to get into that a little bit more, something that I've been doing recently with my clients, especially ones that, again, are like far more social and popular than I am and are invited to lots of things. I've asked them like, hey, what are your events coming up? Like, and I started this before Thanksgiving. So between Thanksgiving and New Year's, let's say,
mm-hmm.
that you know of, what's coming down the pike. And so again, like get like a litany of events or something like that. And with a lot of them, I've said, okay, I'm not saying you can't attend all of these, but I want you to narrow this down to five. Give me five that like carry the most emotional significance, and or, have a very specific food component to it. Like right. We're going over to, grandma's house for like gingerbread or something like that. We're doing like the Feast of a Thousand Fishes or something, the big like Italian pre-Christmas feast.
I have no idea.
I knew you were not going to know what that was.
I'm not up on the Italian culture very much, honestly.
All right. My girl Noelle is going to know. My client.
I do love some Italian food, though. I'm sure it's a great time.
But yeah, I've never been invited to one, to my earlier point. So if you're out there and you want to invite me,
Noelle, we're waiting for our invites. If you're listening, we would like to attend this Feast of a Thousand Fishes, but go on.
We will travel. No, but you know what I mean? Like, let's say, I'm like, okay, you have this huge list of events, narrow it down to five for me that are the most meaningful. Like, yeah, my family, my entire family is getting together for this Christmas Eve meal. Okay. Like that's one of them, right. My neighbors throw the best Christmas party every year. And like, that's another one. Okay.
Cool. Right.
So my whole point is like, it is like within physique development, I'm going to tell you right now, it is pretty unreasonable to list off 20 things and say, like, I really just want to be able to show up and do whatever I want and still like get a great result at the end of the month. That's unrealistic. So what I mean by prioritize.
Yeah. And that's, again, I think like an honest conversation that needs to be had, because I think that's, again, like one of the biggest problems with macros and a lot of macro coaching is it kind of creates the idea that we can kind of just do whatever we want. And I think we would both love that too.
Oh my gosh.
Like I love a good charcuterie board. I think we're very similar in like our love for food.
Yes.
But unfortunately it is oftentimes still like we are going to have to be more aware of like the trade-offs we're making. And ultimately, like if it's like, hey, I'm okay with feeling like maybe I'm regressing a bit in this area, that's okay too. It's your decision. But I also think like a lot of times in situations like this, it's funny, like as coaching has evolved for me, I feel like it used to be so much more like, okay, here's the strategy that we're going to use going into this. Like here's how we're going to like save your calories for later in bank things. And I don't really do that nearly as much anymore. It's so much more just around like, how are we going to think about this? Right. Like, and I think that for most people, that's so much more valuable versus again, those like, here's a long list of everything we're going to do to like make it like fit within your calorie needs. Anything else to add there?
Yeah, I want to be clear that I'm not saying like you can't go to all 20 events. I'm saying the breakdown of what this could look like is like we have 5 where we're going to like eat our normal meals earlier in the day and then like be mindful and listen to our bodies, right? And like enjoy the night, and we're not tracking, and like it's fine. But like outside of whatever we deem to be the priorities, you could totally still go. But that's where you might have to rein it in a bit more. Like you might like, let's pretend, you know, let's say your kid has like a you know, Christmas pageant, or I don't know. Yeah,
you don't want to be there in the first place. So like why go on? Maybe you do.
Depends on how talented your child is. No. But you know, let's say there's like a reception after, okay, you know, with like, you know, a punch and cookies or whatever. It's, you know, that would be one where it's like, okay, it's a special event. Like you want to see your kid perform, sure. But like, how great are like the store-bought cookies and, you know, store-bought punch going to, like, is that really going to be like one of your top 5 events? Maybe, I don't know. Like, that's for you to decide. But my point being is like, if you give me this laundry list of 20 things, and this is one of them, it's like, maybe that's the one where we go and, you know, we like, don't indulge, you know, or like, maybe we go to a friend's celebration. Like this is our group of girlfriends and we get together every year for the holidays, our Christmas party. Okay. Well, maybe we go to the restaurant and we like order something very similar to what you might be having anyway, like sirloin steak, baked potato, broccoli, boom. You know, you don't have to kind of go all out at every event all the time.
Right. And I think that's kind of also like speaking from my own personal experience, because like, I don't like talk about my own like journey very much, but I used to be a lot heavier. And a big part of that was because I always felt, and we talked about this actually, but a big part of that was for me feeling like every single event, I couldn't enjoy it unless I ate as much food as I possibly could and drank a lot as well. Right. And like shifting that to like, what do I actually need to enjoy this? And again, it might be like, hey, maybe you do have a cookie, or maybe you do have a glass of punch at your kid's thing. But
Christmas pageant.
At your kid's Christmas pageant. But maybe it's not 5, right? Or again, maybe we're not going too hard on that. Because as you said, if it's like the Walmart sugar cookies, then is it really that enjoyable? Does it add that much value? Anything else there before we move on to communication?
Just that on that note, you know, I often find like, look, if you have like a glass of punch and a store-bought cookie, like in all honesty, that's probably not going to do a lot of damage.
Right.
It's usually, you know, if you just keep, you know, sending it, or your reaction to, you know, not going along with the plan is often more damaging than the actual food itself.
Absolutely.
Just something to keep in mind.
No. And I think that's another important, like one of the hardest things for most people about maintenance, especially like And again, like I struggled with this for a long time myself. Conversations we're having a lot of times for people who have like successfully lost body fat for the first time, or maybe they've lost and regained a lot. It is so often that conversation of when I diet, I'm just so on. And I really struggle with the gray area where, again, it's like, as you said, okay, I had punch and a cookie. Oh shit, I messed up. I'm off plan now. And then that in itself isn't actually going to be that big of a deal. You're probably worst case, maybe you're a couple hundred calories over targets for the day, especially for maintaining. It's just not going to be that big of a deal at all. You won't even notice any detriment from it. But again, it's the reaction to that is much more important.
Yeah.
Okay. So communication is an important aspect here. Talk us through that.
Yeah. Well, this is not just for the holidays. Communication is always important. But now that we've kind of come up with our list of boundaries and our priorities, we need to communicate them with friends and family, right? You know, what do you need from your spouse or partner this time of year, like in order to maintain your boundaries? Like maybe is your partner like extroverted and you're introverted and like he's like accepting every invitation on your behalf and you know you're like quietly dying inside because it's not your thing and it stresses you out. Like you need to have these conversations you know, about expectations, boundaries, priorities, and all of those things. And same with family. You know, I know that there are a lot of families out there who like have a kind of a family culture around drinking this time of year. You know, like, hey, we all get together and we like enjoy, you know, like Christmas cocktails and, you know, cocktail hour and things like that. And like, if you're not drinking this year or, you know, you're limiting your alcohol, and that's not something they expect of you and you're expecting, you know, kind of friction there, then communicating with them and telling them, you know, that this is what you're doing and this is why, and it's important to you and you'd appreciate their support or something like that could be the move. And likewise with friends, this is something, again, I work with clients on outside of the holiday season as well, but you know, let your family and friends in on your goals. And maintenance is a goal, like ability to, you know, properly navigate like this time of year, or I should say successfully manage this time of year, let them know your intentions and your goals. You know, they're, I think you'd be pleasantly surprised more often than not, because they should kind of be on your team, right?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And that, I think that the way you frame it is so important, where again, like, especially when it comes to like your family, your friends might just be giving you shit. Your family generally, maybe your family is too, I don't know. But generally, like they love you and they support you and they just want you to be happy. So I think if you frame it as like, I have to stick to this diet. And again, like it's something that's like, it seems more negative in the way you express it, they're going to be much less supportive, right? Because they see that as something that's like, oh my gosh, it's making them sad. They're bummed that they're missing out on this. Like I should
presented it like it's making you sad.
Right. Yeah.
And like, that's going to make them sad.
Whereas if it's like, oh man, I love gingerbread bread. Like I had some earlier, but I'm so excited about like this thing that I'm working on right now with Natalie. Like we're getting jacked. My lats are huge. And I want to see those lat striations through my Christmas sweater, right? Like your grandma's going to be like, hell yeah, I get it.
exactly.
Maybe not exactly like that, but I mean, even like, I've mentioned this before, but like Katie's family, my wife's family, specifically her mom, is very much, and for me, it took me a long time to understand this. And I think it took a long time for both of us to come to a point of understanding. The sweetest lady in the world, but very much like,
I can attest to this, by the way.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You spent like 5 days with, yeah, she's the sweetest.
Mama Fulerts.
Oh yeah. The sweetest. Yeah. But she's like, one of the ways she expresses love is like through food, right? I think it's like an act of service, right? She always wants to make sure everyone's taken care of, everyone's well fed. And so there's a ton of situations where, for whatever reason, it also seems like most of the times that she's around, I think she sees like somehow aligns like every time we're together with like a time that I'm dieting. So I think she also sees a lot of times where I'm like, yeah, not right now. But like, to me, understanding that is like, she's not trying to force this on me. This is just her way of expressing love. So rather than it being like me being defensive about it, just like, oh, that's so sweet of you. Like That's like so sweet of you. I appreciate it. Like I'm just not hungry right now, but I'll probably have some later. Like, thank you so much for offering though. Like, I really appreciate that. And it's so sweet how you're like always looking out for me and like want to take care of me in this regard. Like, I want to make sure, you know, like I still really appreciate that. Like, I think if you can kind of understand where they're coming from there, not just immediately like this person's trying to sabotage me, that's also very helpful. And like, still, because a lot of times I think again with family, that is like what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
So like make them feel appreciated. Then I don't know. Hopefully that's how Linda perceives it. Cause I don't want her to think of it any other way.
No, I think that's a really important point, like making sure that people feel acknowledged and appreciated. Cause right. I would hope that most people in your life are coming from, you know, a good place with good intentions. But you know, the other thing here too, is that, you know, you're not participating shouldn't really affect someone else's ability or enjoyment with participating. You know, it's like, hey, like just cause I said no to gingerbread, like doesn't mean you can't have some and enjoy it. Like there's absolutely no judgment here. Like, please feel free to, you know, do your thing sort of thing. And I think that's just often the perception sometimes, especially with like friends, you know, it's like, oh, like, should I not be having this either? And it's like, no, I'm just, you know, I'm good. I'm working towards something very specific. I'm getting huge lats. And you know, this is just what I'm doing right now for me. And then I think also, again, if you tie it back to like some sort of a health goal, I know that is a little easier to justify. Right. Yeah. So if you're like specifically working through like improvements on lab work or like, you know, or like, you know, really trying to bring yourself down into like a healthier body fat percentage, you know, that's something that tends to resonate very easily with other people, you know, like, yeah, I have some health concerns that I'm working through. It's like, I would think you'd be hard pressed to find someone that would, you know, have a problem with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also think like it's important to understand, like, it doesn't mean just because you're not participating in as much of the food or alcohol doesn't mean you can't still like be there for what really matters to everyone. And this is definitely something that I've had to work on a lot, because a lot of times it would just be like, I'm good. I wouldn't like explain myself, like I mentioned before. And then I would just kind of like isolate myself from everyone, just like sit back and like be on my phone or whatever. And it's just like, you can still like be there, be present, have fun with everyone. But I think that's an important thing to touch on as well. Anything else as far as communication?
Yes. If you have a coach, communicate. I know this time of year, it can be like, things just happen really fast, right? We let go of our boundaries. Those weekly check-ins crop up faster than the rest of the year, it seems, you know, every week. And it can be just so tempting to just say like, oh, I'm just going to skip this check-in, or like, oh, I don't have time. I didn't get to it. Or like, man, there's nothing to report, or like, I had a bad week. I'm just going to get back on. It's like, you need to communicate with your coach. If things are good, communicate. If things are not great, you still need to communicate so that we can make sure that we're supporting you in the way that you need it. And also just in touch with, you know, what's going on, what the current obstacles are.
Absolutely. And when things aren't going well, it's the most important time to communicate. It's something we reiterate over and over and over, right? We expect you to have struggles when you work with us. Otherwise, you wouldn't need us in the first place, right?
There is a reason that there's that old trope about like January 1st, diet starts, you know, back in the gym, January 1st. Like there's a reason. This is a very difficult time of year.
Right.
And we are here to have these conversations and help you navigate.
And these conversations, specifically you filling us in on where you struggled, are what allow us to actually help you the most. So avoiding those things or feeling ashamed of them, like, we're not going to judge you. There's no shame. Again, this is what we expect in coaching when a client works with us. The only time it's ever frustrating is when someone doesn't communicate these things, and then we can't help you. You don't get anything out of the experience, right? And I don't think that's what either of us want. So just communicating them is one of the most impactful things you can do. So the last piece of this, taking ownership. Talk us through that, Natalie.
Yeah, I think I like to call it, you know, radical responsibility, but understanding that all of these things are completely within your control. And I know that that could potentially ruffle feathers or be hard to hear, because I know what it feels like to be this time of year, to be pulled in a million different directions and kind of feel like my schedule's not my own. I know how that feels, but the reality is like, you are in control. You don't have to say yes to everything. Like, your time is yours. You have autonomy. So take ownership over every day.
I couldn't agree more. I think that that is one of the most important aspects of all of this. Again, like, coaching as a whole, I think everyone has different areas of their life where they're better at this, and there are different areas of life where they struggle with this. But again, the more you can, and again, it's that doesn't, taking ownership doesn't mean that it is, I am 100% dialed in. Taking ownership could mean thinking through the trade-offs ahead of time and deciding, hey, I'm okay if I have a couple more free meals here. I'm okay with the trade-offs of that. That's taking ownership too. But again, it's being intentional. And again, understanding that like, your family isn't holding you down and forcing you to eat gingerbread or whatever. They might be, I don't know. But that is such an important part of this. Anything else as far as the ownership?
No. Cool. But the piece of advice I like to give around this time of year, especially when, you know, people are like, what do I eat? Or like, how do I eat on Christmas? How do I eat on Thanksgiving? I always say, like, eat what is going to make you feel your best mentally and physically. Mm-hmm. You know, so with the physical piece, you know, most of us don't enjoy feeling, you know, sluggish, bloated. It happens.
Right.
So like, you know, you want to consider, like, how are you going to feel? But then also, how are you going to feel, like, mentally and emotionally? Because the worst thing to feel is like guilt and shame, right? And that, again, that was the conversation I had with a lot of my clients about Thanksgiving, is like, you know, how did it go? How did you feel about how you managed it? And I was so, so impressed and happy with literally all of my clients. Like, there was absolutely no remorse, guilt, shame. Like, incredible. Again, in some cases, scale was up a little bit, right. You know, measurements were up, but like, this is what I mean by like taking ownership. It's like, if the scale was sitting high a little bit, they knew why.
Right.
And they also, but like, they didn't regret their choices, and they were just like, it's just going to like go back down and I'm already back in routine. It's like, exactly.
Right.
So, you know, that's kind of what I mean when I say like, do what's going to make you feel best mentally and physically.
Yeah.
And
you can't, I think that's a perfect way to illustrate it, though, because it's not like all of your clients just, I just ate my chicken and rice on.
Right.
I guess I don't think your clients received a chicken and rice diet anyways, but you know, understand what I'm saying,
turkey,
right?
Turkey and rice. I mean, it was Thanksgiving.
Also, gingerbread being underrated, turkey tragically overrated, in my opinion.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Not a big fan at all. Worse than chicken. I'd rather eat like a rotisserie chicken than a turkey, for sure. Anyways, anything else to add before we wrap this up?
No, but, you know, again, I think making the point that, you know, a lot of people seeking help with coaching, you know, really do think that it is like, I need to diet. I need to get a coach and I need them to like put me through the paces and diet. And, you know, they're in a hurry to get to that calorie deficit come January 1. So, I mean, I want to take the opportunity to say like, months like these, the time of year like this, are the times when you need coaching.
Oh yeah.
Most people can buckle down for 12 to 16, maybe even 20 weeks for fat loss, right? To see progress. But what is going to make your results lasting and sustainable is your ability to manage things like this. Because I know you've all heard the saying that like, Christmas is literally once a year. Like, what we have: Christmas, Thanksgiving, your birthday, July 4, and like, I don't know, throw out another one, Flag Day.
Arbor Day.
That's a big one. No, I don't know. But my point being is like, when you actually break down significant holidays on the calendar, it's like, what, 5, 6, 7 a year out of 365, make it 10 even, out of 365 days. It is not those days.
Yeah.
It is the days in between and like the seasons.
Yeah.
It is like your ability to not let, you know, one day turn into like 1 month.
Absolutely. Unless you celebrate Honda Days or Toyota-thon, which I'm pretty sure both of those are a month.
Gosh.
On that note, as always, we appreciate you guys for tuning in. Happy Honda Days to everyone, and we'll catch you guys next time.